When I mentioned the flu and the coronavirus a little while ago, it reminded me that there is an article that was published this weekend by USA Today Online about myths concerning the coronavirus, things that just aren't true, but apparently which a lot of people in the population believe. One of those is that Lysol, the Lysol brand spray disinfectant, already knew about the coronavirus and has prepared for us a spray that will kill it. Not true, but boy, that'd be great, wouldn't it? Another one is that to avoid the coronavirus, you need to shave your beards. Now, if your spouse or your other beloved has been telling you that, just do it. You know, if that's how they get you to shave your beard, then well done, but it's not true. Pete, I'm not looking at you, brother. I promise. Another one is the coronavirus has come from cattle, that it's actually a bovine virus that's spreading. Again, not true. You can still eat meat if you like. My favorite is that the coronavirus is spread by Corona beer. Did you know the top two Google searches this month, and last month, in the last 4 weeks, top two Google searches were Corona beer virus and beer virus? Not true, but if it gets you to stop drinking beer, I'm good with it. It's interesting how we are obsessed with knowing and finding the truth because it's our nature. We want to know what's true, but we're living in a time when it's pretty difficult to distinguish between truth and falsehood. What is really true, what's actual fact, and what's fake and what's false. So much so that we're obsessed with trying to figure this out. But that part's not new. We've always wanted to know what's true and distinguish between truth and falsehood. And we're going to see that this morning in one of the best-known characters in the story of Jesus' crucifixion, Pontius Pilate. The crucifixion of Christ was preceded by what was actually a six-part trial. And Pontius Pilate was one of those who represented the Roman government. Jesus, as we'll see in just a moment, came before him, and he was one part of the trial that ultimately ended in Jesus' crucifixion. We're in a message series called He Died for Them Too. And we're reminded in this series that even the people who were complicit in the crucifixion of Christ, who contributed to the crucifixion of Christ, God had them in mind when Christ died on the cross. He died for them too, just as he died for you and for me. He died for them too. Christ made salvation available to everyone. It's not automatic, but it's available to everyone because of his death on the cross. If you have your Bible, find with me the Gospel of John. We've been there a couple of times in this series. The Gospel of John, find chapter 18, and hold your place there. I want to tell you a little bit about Pontius Pilate because he just appears suddenly in Scripture. There's really no introduction to him and no background material in the Bible. He's just suddenly there. So let's fill in the gaps just a bit. In the ancient world, the Roman Empire occupied Judea and Palestine. They were the occupying force over the Jews. The Jews had their set of laws, and the Roman Empire permitted them to proceed by their set of laws when it applied to the Jews. But the Romans, being the dictatorship, the empire, the oppressors over Judea and Palestine, had their set of laws also, and the Jewish laws always had to submit to the Roman laws. The Romans had a position called procurator, what we would call a governor. And the governor was over Judea, and that's who Pontius Pilate is. Now, Pontius Pilate is actually a war veteran. He's a seasoned soldier, and history tells us that he had aspirations for politics. And if a soldier wanted to move into politics, which was usually the political offices in the Roman Empire were reserved for the wealthy and aristocrats and held by families, so if a Roman soldier wanted to move into that, he had to make his own way. And Pontius Pilate took one step toward that in that he married a family member of Caesar Augustus. And you'll remember from your Bible, Caesar Augustus was the Caesar of the birth of Jesus Christ. So he's married into the family. The next thing he needs to do is work his way into a position which will be a hybrid between being in the military as well as being in politics, and that's what a procurator was. The governor over Judea was a military officer who had soldiers under him to keep the peace throughout Judea. But he also served as a judge whenever the laws were broken in the area, and the Jews could call on him when they wanted to oversee a trial or to be part of it. When Jesus stands before Pontius Pilate, which we'll read in just a moment, Pilate has been procurator for about 7 years. So not really very long, but in those 7 years, he's managed to make pretty much everybody mad, especially the Jews. He hates the Jews and the Jews hate him, but they're both useful to each other. Another thing about the procurator is when they were serving in Judea, they had a palace outside of Jerusalem, but during festivals, they would come to the palace inside of Jerusalem, which is called the Praetorium. Now, this is an important point because if you read the Gospels and you read through the crucifixion stories, you realize how providential each stage is. God has put these people in place for God's purposes while at the same time giving them opportunity to see who Christ is and to decide for Christ or against Christ. We've already seen it in Judas. We've seen it in Caiaphas. Now we're going to see it in Pontius Pilate. In the short time that he served as procurator, he was the one that stood in the room serving Roman law and making the decision of what was true and what was false. It was his job. It was his job. Go there with me this morning. John chapter 18, we're going to start reading at verse 28. John chapter 18 and verse 28. And this is what the Bible says. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. Now that means it was no later than 6 a.m. their time. There's a block. They blocked out their hours, and the technical term translated early morning means it was between 3 and 6 a.m. They did not enter the headquarters themselves, otherwise they would be defiled and unable to eat the Passover. Irony of ironies. The Jews are delivering up an innocent man to be murdered by the Romans, but they don't want to get their hands clean. They want to be ritually or religiously unclean, so they stay outside. Verse 29. So Pilate came out to them and said, "What charge do you bring against this man?" And they answered him, "If this man weren't a criminal, we wouldn't have handed him over to you." Pilate told them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." "It's not legal for us to put anyone to death," the Jews declared. Now, they said this, John editorializes here, they said this so that Jesus' words might be fulfilled, indicating what kind of death he was going to die. Now, let me pause there just a minute, because it's not true that the Jews could not have killed Jesus. They could have, but they would have had to stone him to death. They wanted Jesus to be crucified, and they wanted the Romans to do it because it was the ultimate humiliation and would mark Jesus as a criminal for history. But even more importantly, according to Moses' law, if he hung on a tree, that is, if he was crucified, he was condemned of God. There was no way the Messiah, in their mind, that the Messiah would be crucified and still be the Messiah. So they were manipulating Roman law to get their job done, and John points out, they didn't even realize they were doing exactly what Christ had prophesied would happen, the death by which he would die. Verse 33, then Pilate went back into the headquarters. He summoned Jesus, and he said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you asking this on your own, or have others told you about me?" "I'm not a Jew, am I?" Pilate replied. "Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" "My kingdom is not of this world," said Jesus. "If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I wouldn't be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." "You are a king then?" Pilate asked. "You say that I'm a king," Jesus replied. "I was born for this, and I've come into the world for this, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." "What is truth?" said Pilate. And after he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no grounds for charging him." "What is truth?" said Pilate. And he turned his back on Jesus and left the room. It's a question that's haunted humanity for generations. How do we distinguish between falsehood and what is true. And we live in an age of uncertainty, confusion, and doubt. How do I know what's right? How do I know what's true? So many voices speaking to me from every direction. How do I know what's right? How do I know what's true? When I have to make decisions, how do I know what's right? How do I know what's true? And how do I know what's false? In our day and time, it's popular to say that truth is not an actual fact. It's a perception. It's a feeling. It's a belief, but it's not an actual fact. Here's an example. Just last week in Cleveland, Ohio, an art exhibition opened up. The title of the art exhibition is What is Truth? The curators talked about this. Curator Patsy Cline, no relation to the singer, and Tim Lachina talked about this What is Truth art exhibition. What they did is they called together Cleveland artists and poets to convey their personal narrative of the meaning of truth. Cline said, I have found, as much as we would like to ignore it, the gray area between here and the truth is infinite. Being a person of curiosity, she says, I wondered what my creative friends felt about the meaning of truth. What could I learn? What could I unlearn? How could we communicate as a community on a deeper level about truth? Lachina said this. He said, as artists, we must aim to discover something greater than ourselves beyond culture and personal limitations. We must look beyond ourselves. We have unique responsibility to convey truth. We must realize truth speaks to each of us in unique ways to make us recognize something in our lives or state of the world. As artists, we must attempt to submit our insights. This is where truth will be revealed. No, it won't. Mr. Lachina, no, it won't. Your feelings will be revealed. Your perceptions will be revealed. Your doubts will be revealed. Your beliefs will be revealed. But truth is not how you feel or what you perceive. It's a fact. Truth is just a fact. If I look at you today and I say, I like your red sweater, that most likely means you're wearing a sweater that we both believe to be red. It's a fact. You can't not wear that red sweater and wear that red sweater at the same time. You have to choose. One is false, one is true. It's a fact. But in our day and time, it's popular to say, well, truth is whatever I feel truth to be. The deep-seated problem with that is feelings are extraordinarily deceiving. You can't count on your feelings to tell you the truth. And yet we're raising generations in which we're teaching them however you feel is true. Do you feel good about this? Do you feel bad about this? Well, then that must be okay. That must be true. Truth has become what we decide it is, not what it actually is. But the problem of recognizing the difference between truth and falsehood has been going on for generations, just as we see in Pilate. Pilate's job is to distinguish between truth and falsehood, and he's struggling to do it, to determine what is truth in this situation. The Bible teaches one fundamental truth that we want to grasp this morning and cling to for just a few minutes. God reveals truth in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ reveals God's truth. God reveals truth in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ reveals God's truth. And he's the only one who does. And God has his word, the Bible, to reveal to us who Jesus is and to underscore and authenticate this truth. We learn who Jesus is by this. But God's truth is revealed in Jesus Christ. So to know Christ is to know God's truth. It has nothing to do with your feelings. Nothing to do with your doubts or your perceptions, what you perceive to be true. It has to do with what God says is true and who Jesus is. Let's go back to this conversation for a moment between Jesus and Pilate. Because in this conversation, Jesus himself reveals to us important principles about God's truth and how he reveals God's truth that we need to understand today. And we're actually, I believe, we're going to be surprised, maybe a little shocked, at just how specific and relevant Christ is when he speaks of the truth and what truth actually is. Because he reveals God's truth. So that's what he's talking about. The first thing he says and teaches us again is that Jesus brings us God's truth. Jesus brings us God's truth. Pilate comes in and says, are you the king of the Jews? Are you a king and are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus asked Pilate, who told you that? Did someone tell you that or Do you come up with that on your own? Now, that's an important question, because the Jewish perception of a king was different from the Roman perception of a king. And that's why Jesus asked the question. Did the Jewish leaders describe this to you, or are you asking me if I'm a Roman king? Pilate bristles at that. Am I a Jew? I'm asking you as a Roman, not as a Jew. It hinges on the kingdom, because this is how Jesus explains God's truth about authority and royalty. This is what he says. I came into this world to bring God's kingdom to this world. My kingdom is not like any kingdom you can experience. It's not the Jewish version, at least not that of the priest who handed me over, and it's not of the Roman version of a dictatorship and an empire. It's God's version. It's God's version. And Jesus says, I came into this world. He is once again validating what he validated often for 3.5 years. He is God in human flesh, who became incarnate in Jesus Christ at Bethlehem. And now, 33.5 years later, stands before the governor of Judea, unintimidated by the questions or the authority of Pontius Pilate. It says, I came into the world to bring my kingdom here, God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is, first of all, a kingdom of the heart. It transcends the boundaries of the Roman Empire. It transcends the boundaries of North Carolina, of the United States. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of the heart, Jesus says. I came first with my kingdom here now. It's not of this world. It's of God's world and God's doing. Jesus means he came first to conquer sin and death, not to set the Jews free from the Roman oppression, but to conquer sin and death in the human heart. What only King Jesus can do is to conquer that sin and to overcome death. That's why he came, and that's his kingdom. And once he comes into the heart of the person, cleanses us of our sin, the church of Jesus Christ is God's kingdom on earth. It expands way beyond geographical boundaries. It expands way beyond racial boundaries, economic boundaries, educational boundaries. God's kingdom is in the heart. And he is the King of life who conquered sin and death. He brings that to us. You know what he's telling Pilate, as well as us through the ages? You would not get this by just looking around. The human nature is we tend to gravitate toward human leadership. And believers, we must be careful about that even now in an election year as we begin the election process. While our election process is the best in the world, we are still human beings. We are fallible, and our old nature is a sinner nature. And we look to our leadership and we say to them, save us from our problems. I don't care who's sitting in the Oval Office. It's not Jesus. Jesus Christ is the only one that can change the heart and save the soul. He has conquered sin and death. Pray for your leaders, but trust Christ. He brings God's truth to us. The second thing he tells us and reminds Pilate, Jesus testifies to God's truth. Jesus testifies to God's truth. The term translated testify means authenticates, or we might say in our time, gives a reference for it. He's the one that identifies it and authenticates God's truth. And that's what he says. This is why I came. I came for this purpose, to testify to the truth. That is, God's universal, absolute truth. It's transcendent beyond this time. And he's saying to Pilate, you would not know the truth if I didn't bring it to you. You're not going to learn it from the Jews outside, and you're not going to learn it from the Roman superiors in Italy. You're going to learn it by knowing God through Jesus Christ. He authenticates it. He testifies to it. This month, about 36 years ago this month, I proposed to my beloved, Kim. We were married about a year later. This June will be 35 years. I'm not looking at her, but I hope I got all that right. Up to the time I met her and fell in love and was thinking about proposing, I had heard pretty much my whole life that passed down to me was a diamond pendant. And if I ever wanted that diamond pendant through the family, I could take that diamond pendant. And it might be a good idea to take the diamond out of it and create an engagement ring from it, a diamond ring. I thought, what a great idea. So the time came, and I received that diamond pendant, just been in the family, and took it to a jeweler, a friend of mine that I'd gone to church with. And I said to him, will you take a look at this, authenticate it for me, and then let's talk about seeing if we can take that out and put it in a ring. So he said, yeah, sure, come back in a few days. So I did that. Came back in a few days, and he met me at the desk, and he leaned forward, and he said, Bob, I've got only bad news. I don't have any good news? No, I don't have any good news. I've only bad news. I said, what's that? He said, this is a fake. It's worth about $30. I said, okay. So now what? And he said, well, let me work with you on getting a real one. I said, that sounds good to me. So we went back, talked back and forth, and he helped me get the engagement ring that I gave to Kim that she wears still, and the certificate of authentication I still have in my possession. See, it's an expert that can tell you this is a fake or this is the real thing. This is a lie or this is the truth. It's Jesus Christ that can authenticate the truth for you. When someone says to you, well, any religion will do, every religion's leading to the same way. You look at the Word of God, you hear the words of Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Guess what he's just said? I've authenticated the truth, and I've told you that's a lie. When someone says to you, you are unworthy, you have no value, we don't care about you, Jesus says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I created you in my image. That's a lie. This is the truth. Jesus authenticates the truth. He testifies to the truth of God, God's truth. The reason the world is so confused is they're not listening to God's truth. And believers, if we're confused, we're not listening to God's truth. There's no confusion there. God has preserved his truth for us in the Bible and through the words of Christ, because he testifies to the truth. And the only way you will know God's truth is by knowing Jesus Christ. If you're sitting in here today and you've been listening to all kinds of voices, watching all kinds of talk shows, reading all kinds of books, and you're still confused, go to the Bible, trust Jesus, and he'll tell you the truth. If you've never trusted him as your Savior, that's where you need to start. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. He brings to us God's truth. He testifies to God's truth. And listen to this. Jesus calls us to God's truth. He calls us to God's truth. He tells Pilate, anyone who is of the truth listens to me. That's a very important phrase. What it means is the seeker who is seeking God's truth finds it in Jesus Christ. The term translated listen, and sometimes in your Bible it's translated as hear, who hears my voice, it's not a passive word. It doesn't mean you're sitting around and you go, oh, I hear that. No, it's listening actively. It's bending toward it. It's obeying. It's heeding. It's following. And the one who listens to Christ hears the truth and knows it. If we truly lean in, we truly listen, we truly heed and obey him, we follow Christ and we listen to him. And you know what happens? Jesus himself said it. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth, Jesus Christ, and he said that of himself because he is the truth, the Son of God will set you free. When you follow Christ, when you listen to him, when you trust him, all the lies and all the confusion clear away, and you hear the truth and you know that it's him. And you listen to his voice, and in your decisions he guides you. And in your family he guides you. And when you pay attention to him, you know he's speaking to you and that he loves you and that he cares for you. In John chapter 10 and verse 27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and follow me, and I know them. If you know the voice of truth, you know Jesus Christ. It's really just that simple. And if you know Jesus Christ, You know the voice of truth. It's still that simple. And if he's speaking to your heart this morning and he's telling you the truth about you, about your family, about your decisions, listen to him. He is speaking to you the truth. He's speaking to you the truth. Pontius Pilate served about 3 more years as procurator after he met Jesus that day. And in those 3 years, matters just got worse. Until finally he committed a crime so heinous against the Jewish people, there was an uprising in Palestine, and his superiors in Rome, all the way over in Italy in the city of Rome, called him back to Rome. And of all the ironic things to happen to Pilate, they tried him for treason in a kangaroo court and sentenced him to death. Virtually on the spot. He probably didn't even have his bags unpacked yet. They said, "We're tired of you, Pilate. So here's your choice. You can die honorably by killing yourself, or we'll disgrace you and do it for you." That was common in the Roman Empire, especially for soldiers. It was called compelled suicide. And that's how Pontius Pilate died, disgraced, a criminal of his own country, by his own hand, and disappeared from history. But the real tragedy of Pilate's life, the real tragedy of his life, is that he asked the right question, but didn't wait for the answer. What is truth? The Bible says, and he turned around and he went back outside. If he just waited for an answer, he would have heard the voice of truth say, "I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the water of life. I'm the one that can save you, but I'm the only one." I don't follow Jesus Christ because he answers my questions. I follow Jesus Christ because he's the answer. I don't follow Jesus Christ because he makes my life better. I follow Jesus Christ because he's the life. And I don't follow Jesus Christ because he makes me feel good. I follow Jesus Christ because he is the one good and true God that loves me despite myself. He is the truth. He is the truth. And this morning, I want to challenge you. Maybe you have been staring him in the face, but every time you're confronted with the truth, you turn around and just like Pilate, you walk away. Don't do that today. Don't do that today. If God is speaking truth to your heart, respond to him. Be one of those that hears and listens and comes to Christ and comes to the truth. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows your future. He has hope for you, salvation for you, cleansing for you. He can help you with whatever you're confronting. Bring it to Christ. First of all, if you're one in this room that's never trusted Christ as your Savior, today's the day. Because you know he's the truth. You know he's speaking to you. He knows your heart. And right now he's saying to you, come home. Come to the truth. Come to Christ. Be forgiven of your sins. He has conquered sin and death, and he wants to do that for you. Would you come to Christ today? Believers, listen to me. If you're sitting in this room and you are struggling with decisions and uncertainties in your life, what that's telling you is you're not bringing it all to him, the one who is the truth. Listen to him. Bring it to him at the altar. Bring it to him in prayer. Ask his forgiveness for listening to any other truth but Jesus Christ and Christ alone, and bring that to him today. Also, listen to this. If God has been speaking to you about a decision in your life, a decision that may seem simple, but you've been putting it off, maybe it's to ask forgiveness from someone. Maybe it's to give to missions or to step up and serve in missions. Maybe it's to join fellowship with this church. Maybe it's to follow through in believer's baptism. And every time you're in church, that comes to mind. Listen, that is the Spirit of God speaking to you. And every time you say no, you are saying to the Spirit of God, God, I know the truth better than you do. You're actually telling God, he's not telling you the truth, that you need to make that decision or you need to make that commitment. Listen, God is truth. And if he is speaking to you about that decision, don't hold back. Do it today. Because on the other side of that decision, God has a whole plan for you that you're waiting on. And you're not participating in because you've not taken that next step of faith. Don't turn your back on him today. If God's speaking to your heart, listen to him and respond. Heavenly Father, this morning, you're speaking to us, God. Maybe there's one in this room who needs to trust Christ as their Savior today. Father, how I pray today would be the day, God, that they step up and listen to you. They don't walk away. They don't turn away, God, but today they embrace the truth of God in Jesus Christ. We are sinners in need of salvation. And Father, I pray today would be the day that they would be saved. Father, I pray for believers who need to make fresh commitments to you. God, forgive us for listening to all the falsehood in the world around us. Bring us back to your truth, Father. Help us to zero in on what you're saying to us. And God, I pray for us who need to make other fresh decisions. Father, we know on the other side of that decision, you have great plans for us. May this be the day we step out in faith, make that decision, so we leave this place on that fresh path you have for us. God, we embrace your truth today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.